Hey everyone, I'm Dahlia.
And I'm Alma. This is Nightmare on Fifth Street, a horror movie podcast.
So, Alma, I thought that it was your dogs that were good, or that's your dogs, but is that the neighbor dog or is it your babies?
It's the neighbor dog in the back, and they haven't stopped barking. It's never going to stop, so everybody's just going to have to listen to it, and I'm sorry.
Well, I thought the dogs were going to be the ones that were going to intro you, so I was like, oh, look at that, how sweet. She trained them to talk for her.
No, it's too hot outside, and some people like to keep their dogs outside, and they just bark the whole day. It's like, if you put them outside, that's what they're going to do because they're not happy. Now I'm sad for the dogs. I'm sad. I hope it rains. It rains a lot here. So you hear that?
Well, we keep being told that it's going to rain every day. Chance of thunderstorms. Every day, chance of thunderstorms. Thunderstorms. It's like a different day, same thing, but it still hasn't thunderstormed. I hate washing my car. I fucking hate washing my car with a passion. I hate going to the thing. I hate getting my car washed. It's such a chore. It's like every time I have to do it, I'm like, is this my life? For the rest of my life, I have to go get my car washed. I'm just tired of it. So I depend on the rain to wash my car. And the other day I walked out to my car to go somewhere. I don't even remember where. A doctor's appointment. And I walked up to my car and there was motherfucking bird shit on the driver's window. And I'm like, it'd be one thing. It was like in the passenger or back window. I wouldn't be confronted with it every time I get into the car. And yes, that's right. I said every time I get into the car, because I'm not going to go wash my fucking car. I refuse to go get my car washed. I fucking hate it so much with a passion. So I'm depending on the thunderstorms to come through and wash that shit off. Literally wash that shit off. Why won't it? Oh my God. So it's still there? Yeah, I'm not going to wash my car.
Oh my God. I love going to the car wash. I love being inside the car wash and I sing and I yell and I pretend like, you know, it's like an experience, you know, like when you were a kid and the way that all the bubbles come up and everything around the car, it's fun. I like it. It's like, let's go to the car wash and the kids hop in still, you know.
Well, I don't mind being a passenger in it. I just don't like going out and getting my car washed.
I don't want to go anywhere now because of the heat. It's fucking hot. It's brutal. I went outside once yesterday and then I was like, I'm in. I'm not going to go back out there.
Yeah.
It sucks.
I send my dogs outside. They don't even want to be outside for 5 minutes. They're at the door ready to come back in. I'm like, I need you all to get a little vitamin D. I need you all to get a little fresh air. And they're like, fuck you, mom. Let me the fuck back in because it's too hot. Jill, she's my black dog. And she usually loves sitting out in the sun, which bothers me because I'm like, you're black. You're soaking up all that heat and everything like that. So she usually loves being out there, but even she's the first one back at the door and she's like doing that panting thing that dogs do. She looks all crazed and everything.
Yeah, but they still won't come in.
mine are because it's like in the hundreds and she's just like, screw this, I'm coming back in. She just starts drinking up all the water. But anyways, this podcast isn't about our dogs, but I still wanted to talk about our dogs because we have
is weird. Why would we be talking about dogs? We could have talked about cats because that is the movie that we watch. It's not a movie just about any cats. It's called Cat People.
And you're a cat person. You're a cat person.
I'm cat people. I'm cat. You know what's so funny? I forgot I was going to wear one of my favorite cat shirts. And then I just completely forgot. Cat People from 1942. Okay. I just want to bring this up really quick because I had seen some reviews. Do people not know this movie is from 1942? Do they know that back in 1942, they couldn't just put movies with people being torn apart?
Gore. So you read recent reviews.
Yes, that was the funny part. That was the funny part. Because obviously, you know, you look this up. It's in the Criterion Collection. You can read very good essays about this movie. It's wonderful. And it is a classic. And but I kind of like to go and piss myself off by seeing who doesn't like this movie. And it's OK okay, you don't have to like it. The thing is, it's old. But a complaint that it's, you know, they didn't show anything really good. How is this horror kind of thing? These are the origins of it. It's not like they just came out of the factory making horror films like Art the Clown slicing people in half. It just, they couldn't show that kind of thing. A lot of things had to be implied or shadowy or you knew what was going on. But the thing is that I think that it would be more intelligent to say, you know, it's just not my thing, than it is to say, it didn't have enough blood in it or or something like that. It's like, yeah. Do they know what year this is?
or go into detail why you don't like it. That's fine. I don't mind those either. But you're right. It's the ones that compare it to like things of today. It's like, it's just not going to be. It's Mm-mm. not at all. These are our early jump scares. These are our early, you know, being creeped out, ghost in the corner that we don't see. Mm-hmm. That's the OG right
they
there.
They built on it. Yes, those are the original. This is our horror roots. This is where the ideas, and then they get built on and they get better and better. So that's why I read one. It was just like, come on. It's just like, you do know 1942. It's not like they're going to train a panther? The cat, the big cats. So they had like a leopard at the zoo, and then they had the panther. And it's like, they're not going to be able to train one or get one close enough to people to make it look like it's, or CGI it. It's just not possible. It's like, so we just need to accept that and then talk about, I didn't like the dialogue or this or that, you know, that's fine. You know, constructive criticism, but this is the original man.
Well, actually, some of the reviews from back in when its original release, some of them were about the dialogue, that it seemed stunted, that it didn't seem authentic and stuff like that. And I totally get that. I totally get that. If you were reviewing from that time period. And then some of the better reviews were talking about stuff like that's what they enjoyed, or they enjoyed things mm-hmm. not being seen completely. They loved the shadows of the, and that's what I love about these old black and white movies, that you can really use the shadows to your advantage. And that's what we're seeing throughout this movie, that they're really using the shadows to their advantage, because they can't show us a big black cat coming at you and all that. So what do? The shadows, with something kind of in the corner, but you don't really mm-hmm. see anything and you're not sure. And they're using the sounds to, you know, along with those shadows. Speaking of this being in black and white, the cover for this movie is colorized. And that's where we see that Irena, we're going to get into it a little bit, she's mm-hmm. blonde or a redhead in real life. But you couldn't really tell that in this black and white version. Yeah, if you look at the cover or the movie poster is what I'm trying to say. The movie poster for this shows her as being like a blonde or a redhead. And I was like, oh, okay. So anyways, just this is a black and white, the colorized poster. That's all I wanted to mention real quick. Now let's get into Alma. Tell us, give us some of the taglines for this movie.
Ooh, all right. So on those big, awesome posters of the day, wouldn't that be cool to have one of those? Anyway, she knew strange, fierce pleasures that no other woman could ever feel. But that's with an exclamation point, so I should have shouted that. I'm sorry. One of the best ones I read was lovely woman, dot, dot, dot. Giant killer cat, dot, dot, dot. The same person. Okay, that was an exclamation point. It's super sensational. The exciting story of a woman who kills the thing she loves. Yeah, that was an exclamation point. I just want to make sure y'all understand a lot of exclamation points in that. It was written by DeWitt Boden and directed by Jacques Tournier. I decided to be fancy with that pronunciation. I don't think I needed to be.
That's funny, because I was just calling him Turner in my head.
I was like, Turner. Okay. Turner. Okay.
I just said Turner. It's so much easier. Okay.
Simone Simon as Irena, Kent Smith as Oliver, Jane Randolph as Alice, Tom Conway as Dr. Judd, and uncredited, but he had a good role in the movie, Alec Craig as the zookeeper, because he has lines and they're like talking back and forth many times. So I was like, who is this? Looked it up. There it is. And I found mine. I had to rent it on Prime Video. Did you?
I rented mine on iTunes. I don't know. Is iTunes still a thing? I rented on Apple. on Apple Tunes, Apple Movies, Apple Movies. Apple Films. Yeah, let's call it Apple Films.
I did
Films.
Rent it. I thought it was somewhere for free. I think it was, but it's I just Turner, couldn't remember.
I bet you Turner it's on Classic. Turner Classic Movies. If we had that, I need to find out how to watch those. I'm pretty sure that's still a thing. People tell
I don't
us
know.
That's still a thing.
There's too many tell subscription me. Channels. It's many, really exactly. fucking confusing. I'm constantly adding channels and shit. And it's like, I might as well just go back to like the days when you had cable and then you kept having to add the extra packages, because sometimes it's like, why don't I have it? Oh, because it's on the TCM Plus, or it's on the Plus one, not your regular whatever. And now we have all these damn things and I just want to watch whatever I want to watch. Just, you know, I don't even know if cable is a thing anymore, because I haven't seen cable in so long that I don't know if it's a thing.
It is. And sometimes I wish that I had it, because right now I've been using Hulu, and Hulu's been giving me it's such a pain in the ass lately, because I have the added live TV portion.
Oh, yes.
I like to watch stuff live sometimes.
Me too.
Mm-hmm. And it's so annoying because it's so, I don't know how to describe it, but it's just so wonky sometimes. I try to watch it live and it gets stuck and this and that. And I don't know. I want to get rid of it, but there's shows
technology
that I can only watch on Hulu.
It's a bitch.
I want. It is. And they didn't have this kind of technology back in the day. So they were able to appreciate these movies for what they were. The short summary of this movie is, an American man marries a Serbian immigrant who fears that she will turn into the cat person of her homeland's fables if they are intimate together. She is, in fact, French, though. Simone Simon, who plays Irina, who plays the Serbian woman in this movie. So I'm guessing that's her French accent poking through here instead of a Serbian accent. Although...
I was just going to mention that there's a Serbian line in it from the cat lady, and she's the one who dubs it in the Serbian language.
Yes, she does. Yes. Uh-huh. That's what I don't know anything other than when I heard that, I understood it, obviously. And I think it's because I'm guessing Serbian is a romance language. I know some of these languages in that area are romance languages, but all right. no, shut up.
This is an original rom-com. This is where the rom-com they were first like born.
Shut up. Okay. You wrote the intro to this movie. Did you want to share that? Where'd she go? Is she on mute?
No, I'm here. Sorry. Okay. Yes, because they gave the story, and Irina in it is the one who tells her soon-to-be beau husband. You see, the Mamluks came to Serbia long ago and they made the people slaves. Well, at first, the people were good and worshiped God in a true Christian way. But little by little, the people changed. When King John drove out the Mamluks and came to our village, he found dreadful things. The people bowed down to Satan and said their masses to him. They had become witches and were evil. Well, King John put some of them to the sword, but some, the wisest and the most wicked, escaped into the mountains. Now, do you understand? And to which Oliver replies, well, I still don't see what it has to do with you. Irina replied, those who escaped, the wicked ones, their legend haunts the village where I was born. Implying that's where the whole root of the movie is that she fears this change will happen to her. And this is the story she tells him before they marry. So I'm trying to come up with a timeline of the film the whole time. And I'm not mocking it. But back in the day, I love to say that. Back in the day, I guess because you just didn't get to know people before you married them. It was, I love you after a date. You know, she invited him over for coffee. They went on maybe one more date, right? And then they're going to get married like that. And maybe people still do that today. It's just, if you're telling someone, I think beforehand, that you're afraid of being intimate, it just seems like something you might want to work on before you marry them. You know?
So the movie is actually based on a story. And the story, I forget what year the original story was. So when they started writing the script for this, they had considered for a short period making this movie of that time period of the original story. But one of the writers, I guess, really pushed for it to be a modern day movie because they wanted the audience to be able to relate to it more. So I'm guessing this movie was around the time period, 1940s, early 1940s. So, and again, who knows if the 1940s were really like that or if it was just for the movie. So the movie starts with Irina at the zoo, and she's standing next to the big cats and she's drawing. And this is where it really bothered me. She was being really wasteful with her papers. She has this large sketchbook and you see her drawing, and then she tears it and then she rolls it up and she throws it. She litters, okay? And that's how she meets her future beau. And he picks it up and he throws it in the trash. And then she keeps drawing and she keeps tearing the papers. And I'm just like, dude, stop wasting all that paper, because you see her drawing for just a tiny bit. And then finally, the last piece of paper that she didn't even bother trying to throw it into the trash. She just tears it off. She throws it on the floor. And I'm like, hello? So her and whatever his name is, they start
Oliver,
talking.
Because he pointed to the sign. It says, like, pick up, clean the earth, be good to it. And this is already the bad foot that you two are not on the same wavelength. He's like, take care of the earth. And she's like, I don't care. She throws the paper. But I love that about her. Because she didn't change for him. She was like, I'm a litterer, asshole, and I'm going to throw this paper on the ground, and that's where it's going to stay.
So they go off so they could start talking more. But on the floor, on the ground, we do see what she had drawn, and she had drawn a big cat. I don't know if we're supposed to know at the time it's a panther, because it's not colored in. It doesn't have anything. But either way, maybe people looking at it know, Dahlia, duh, that's a panther. Don't you notice the front paws are a little bit heavy and the back paws are blah, blah. No, I don't know any of that shit. But she's standing in front of the panther. Yes. But again, you know, she's drawn it with a sword through it. It's like, what the fuck? So she's drawing all this horror. That's where the horror comes in. People see this picture and they're like, she drew a panther with a sword through it. What does this mean? So anyways, they go off to have tea together. I thought that was so sweet. Their first date was going to be tea. And they, like almost right away, they show him really falling for her. They have tea, they have dinner together, and it starts, their romance just takes a leap from we had tea together to him professing his love and her professing her love. And it's like, didn't they just go on two dates here? That's what it seemed like. Or how much time passed?
Yes, I think that was it. Because then the next thing we see is their wedding. And nobody knows her because she doesn't have any friends. But they're having a wedding. And Oliver's co-worker and friend Alice is the one who throws it, and she doesn't have anybody there from her family. It's all his friends, and they're like chatting about her, like, she seems strange and unusual and quiet, I wonder if they'll get along. And she's like, oh, they'll get along splendid, Alice, you know. And that's the way she talked, for real. And Oliver,
I was gonna ask, is that how you think she talks?
Yeah, hello. And you know, and Oliver is just like in love. He's obviously in love with her basically because she's gorgeous. And he doesn't know anything else about her other than she's Serbian. I mean, these really didn't even ask questions. He hears this whole story. She seems kind of not, I wouldn't say obsessed with that story, but it's something that weighs on her mind. It's something that she's thinking about.
And she tells him from the beginning, I'm not ready to kiss you. I'm not ready to be intimate with you. She tells him from the beginning, they get married having not kissed and all that. And he seems fine with it. The reason I'm mentioning it at this, because later on, it really starts to bother me that it starts to bother him. I'm like, dude, you knew what you were getting into from the beginning. If you were okay with it in the beginning, that's your own fault. But
later. She has her own bedroom. She's sleeping in her own bed. It does jump a month in the future, you know, a month later. It's been 4 weeks, still no intimacy, but they talk. He's constantly telling her he loves her. He would do anything to make her happy. And she just keeps mentioning that she's afraid of this in the cat people story. So he recommends that she see a psychiatrist to talk about her, this story and her fears, because she really does believe this, and he realizes that. But it took him like that 4 weeks. But that's why I was like, this is a him problem to me. 4 weeks and two dates or whatever. She mentioned from the beginning she's having these issues. This is something that could have been dealt with before they got married. And
well, here's the thing too. I don't think that she ever had to kiss him if she didn't want to. So it's not like we're saying that.
That too.
We're saying that he knew that. He 100% knew that. So the further they get along into their marriage, it shouldn't be a surprise to him that she still hasn't kissed him, that she still hasn't been intimate, because she said from the beginning, I'm not comfortable. I'm not comfortable with any of that. She told him why, and he kind of, like Alma said, he brushes her off and everything. There is this part, though, that I thought was absolutely adorable. He buys her a kitten, which that's the adorable part. He buys her this kitten so that she can have a companion. But the weird thing was he kept it in a shoebox. And like, I didn't see any holes in that shoebox. So he brings it to her as a surprise. There was? I didn't see them. But he gives her this cat.
But it's a shoebox.
Yeah, it's a shoebox with a cat in it. It's like literally a shoebox. Not even a big shoebox. It's a shoebox. And he gives her this cat, and the cat right away just doesn't like her. And so she's like, oh, cats just don't seem to like me. So they take it back and they go to, she's like, let's return it and get something else. So they go to the pet store and they're going to return it. So they walk in from the rain and all the animals start going like, they just don't like her. It seems like, right? Well, we know because we're watching a horror movie. So we know it doesn't like her. In the movie, they don't know what's going on. So all the animals start like overreacting to her presence and everything. So she goes to stand outside and instead they get her a little bird, which she absolutely loves. I love that she loves this bird. When they bring it back to the house, she's whistling along with it. She wants to carry it. She wants to hold it in her hand, which I thought was hilarious. She was trying to catch the bird, but apparently she scared the bird to death. It was so sad.
I thought she did it on purpose. Yeah. She was, the way she was grabbing at it, she was teasing it in a torturing way to me.
I thought she was just playing with it like kind of like cats do. They play with
things, exactly. And I don't think she meant to kill it. It got scared to death. But she was almost like maniacally like swiping at it like, come here, you know. She was having fun, but I just don't think that she intended to kill it. But at the same time, I don't think she was being nice. Like, you don't tease the poor damn bird that lives in a cage. What else is it gonna do? Poor thing just flops dead. And then I laughed because she so conveniently had a box that was cat sized.
A tiny little box, I know, like a little tiny shoebox.
Bird size, sorry, to bury the bird. Oh, and she just like, she didn't even do CPR. She didn't even like do bird CPR or anything. She could have brought it back.
It was like a little Tweety bird. So I thought she was going to bury the bird. Did you think she was going to bury the bird? Because she put it in that little box.
So I assumed she put it in the box.
Instead, she takes it to the zoo in her purse or something, and then she takes the bird out and she tosses it to the panther. Like, what the fuck? Fuck did she just do?
She's weird. Cute. She's adorable, you know?
She's adorable doing evil things like killing a bird and then tossing it to the panther. And the panther just bats at it like, you know, because it's not a real bird. At least I don't want to think it's a real bird.
Is this how zoos were? Weren't the zoos weird? It's just like a big cage thing. There's like nothing in it. It's so sad. The panther in it, and they show the leopard. I think those were the two animals they commissioned for this movie. That's all they had. So they keep showing the panther and the spotted one next to it. I don't know what a panther is. I keep saying panther. I hope that's what it is. It's a big cat.
Maybe they're both panthers. I don't know.
Yeah. What if, oh my gosh, what if spots are for the boy and the black ones are the woman, you know? Okay. I don't know, but they're beautiful, but they're just inside this cage. And she keeps going to the zoo and I'm like, you know why? Because there ain't shit to do. They don't even have television back then. They don't, right? They just had like radio and the talkies.
I don't know. I'm really bad with our own history. I don't know when the television first came out. Anyways, we're getting sidetracked here now.
Yes, so back to the panther playing with the bird, and she is not canoodling with her husband. And I want to stress, I'm not saying that the stuff that they should have worked on before has anything to do with making her have sex if she doesn't want to, if she doesn't want to be intimate in that way. What I mean is that she is, I can't even think of the word, but the fear is real for her. She honestly believes this. So I really think that that was something that if she was going to get help or he felt like she needed therapy for this, this was something that they should have done before the marriage, because he's the one who can't handle the non-intimacy of their relationship. She seems very infatuated with him. She loves him. Yeah, they show her at times making him dinner, showing her paintings, talking to him, wanting to be near him, all of that. But he says those things, but he is not doing anything in action that makes me believe that he was actually in this from, you know, in sickness and health, you know, because that's really what it is. It's like in sickness and in health. You took the vows. You wanted to be married to her. You're like, I'll do anything to make you happy. But then a month later, you're like, I think you should see a psychiatrist, see? And that's my old-timey accent. And then he does that. Yeah, she goes and sees him because she's like, maybe this is somebody I can confide in. And what does she find out? That the husband got the recommendation for the psychiatrist and talked openly about it with his coworker and longtime friend, Alice.
That really fucking pissed me off that he's telling. Look, I know that people do this, that they tell things about their partner to their friends that they shouldn't be doing. But come on, don't do that. That's like a private affair between, that's a private thing between you and your wife. That shouldn't have been shared with a coworker, especially a potential. It turns out that there she's a love interest. So, I don't know. It really bothered me that he was telling. It's one thing to say, "Hey, I need a recommendation for a psychiatrist," and she's like, "What for? Oh, don't worry about it. You know, I just need a recommendation." Instead of, "Well, you see, you know," and yes, tells her the whole story of whatever's going on. That is not his business to tell.
It's exactly not his business. And Alice brings it up in front of her, like, "Oh, I didn't know it was a secret." And you know, it's like, what? When is it ever anybody's business why she's going to go see the psychiatrist? When is it your business to come bring it up in a mocking way that somebody is needing help and they went to go see it, to see that person for help? And that was somebody who she thought, oh, I'm going to confide in him. Yay. You know, I mean, yay like that, but like, yay, I have somebody who I can discuss this with. Let's work it out. So of course she's not going to want to go back to him. And he doesn't even like see that there was anything really wrong with that, because he sees Alice every day. And Alice is, you know, his bestest friend. She threw their wedding. She's the one who put the wedding together for them. It's weird that you're telling her this stuff. And then, so she doesn't go back to him. And Alice, like Thalia mentioned, just tells him out of the blue, you know, I love you. I'm always going to love you, but you're married. And what? Why are you telling him now? You're friends with him
exactly.
for years.
He's married. Exactly. He's married. So you don't need to be. See, Irena and whatever the fuck his name is, Oliver, they got into a small argument, although it should have been a big damn fucking argument. I think she's restraining herself very well, Irena. They get into this argument. He's like, okay, I'm going to go ahead and leave you alone and I'm going to go to work. So that's he goes to work. And that's when Alice confesses her love for him. And then they were able to like go back to like it was nothing. And then they go to, you know, they go have coffee or tea or something in a diner. And Irena's like, okay, I'm going to go check on my husband now. And when she goes, she finds them having a meal together, or even if it's just a drink. So she's like, wait a minute. He told me he's going to work. What is he doing sitting here with Alice? So she starts to get a little jealous. Now, that's one thing she did warn him about earlier. She said, I don't want to kiss you. And then I believe she told the psychiatrist that jealousy can make whatever this dark secret come to life. So you see them part ways, Oliver and Alice. And Alice starts to walk all by herself in this dark dark alleyways, dark streets, whatever the fuck it was. And yeah, so Irena's skulking. I say skulking because you don't see her. So I'm figuring that she's probably a cat right now. That's how I envisioned it, that she's a cat.
Yes.
Just kind of like jumping up on the walls and hiding in the shadows, because we start seeing her at first. We see that Irena's following her, but then we don't see her anymore. And we see that Alice is getting freaked out by something following her. That's why I say skulking, and not in a mean way. Mm-hmm. I say like in a lovely, frightening way.
It's hilarious. Alice. Right here, because she is scared shitless, and rightfully so, you horrible piece of shit lady.
You wanted to say something really bad right now.
Yes! Because like, I fucking hate her. Yeah. Fuck her, you know, Alice. I'm like, it pissed me off, but I love that it is almost playful, and I think that's why they showed her nature earlier with the bird. And because I think that she could have fun with this cat side of her. I don't think
she's playing cat and mouse. Yes.
Yes. It's not in necessarily a bad thing, this cat in her. You know what I mean? Everything is, they really should have helped her so that she wasn't afraid of what she becomes, but embraces it. Because if so, I think that would have been okay. But it's what happens instead is that the relationship she has that makes her fear the intimacy, you know, because she's afraid she'll kill the person that she loves. It ends up being a bad thing because he wasn't supportive. Because look, when he and Alice were talking and she says, "I love you," he's like, all of a sudden, until that moment, he just told Irena, "I love you and I'll do anything to make you happy," right before he went to work. And then he's there and she tells him that, and he's like, "Well, I don't even know if I love her anymore." The first woman that comes along and throws herself at you, you're just, that's it? I'm going to chuck this woman to the side? She has no one, and you said you were going to be that someone. So exactly. You know, I'm pissed off at Oliver. I'm pissed off at Alice for not coming forward with it sooner. And then this little chase scene is great. The shadow usage, the fear, the buildup. I love it. Chase that bitch ass home and scare the shit out of her. I hope she crapped herself because she deserved that shit in her pants.
Well, we have this part here that as she's walking, all of a sudden we see a bus appear. So it gives us a little jump scare. And interestingly, one of the filmmakers of this movie called it the bus. So instead of calling it a jump scare, he called it the bus. And that's the term that they used for a while. Instead of saying jump scare, they called it the bus because it was a bus that came along, made that jump scare, I'm saying in quotes, that a term that they didn't use at the time. And I just thought that was really cool that it was the bus that came along and it was called the bus. So she gets on the bus to escape from whatever's going on. And later on, we find out that there's some dead sheep, or sheep that are mauled, or sheep that are partly eaten, or maybe missing sheep. Something to do with sheep. It's like, that's what went on.
Was it the petting zoo at the zoo? Because she was,
I don't know,
kind of in like very, you know, she loved watching that. I think that's why she kept going. She was, you know, loved looking at the panthers. She loved looking at the cats, but she kept going back to the zoo. But the reason I thought it was a petting zoo is because she kills them or whatever she does, eats one. But when she walks away, they show the footsteps in coming out of where the pen was. And you can see that her feet were large cat paw prints, and then they transform back into human form. But the human form was high heel shoe prints. So she didn't get naked? Her feet transformed back into shoes? Or did she do a quick change?
She's magic. She could do whatever she wants.
That's true. I like the thought of her being magic and not necessarily having to like change, you know, Oliver. But it was funny
or maybe
to watch
as
the big prints.
Yeah. Or maybe as a panther, she wears a little backpack on her back, and in it are her clothes and her high heels and anything else that she needs. So as a panther, she's walking around. Oh, by the way, I looked it up. They are panthers, by the way. It is supposed to be a panther. And they might have said that in the movie too, but
it did. You know, I just focused too heavily on it because they kept showing that other spotted one, and it was really confusing to me because I think that they were trying to show that it was a zoo, but I think that's really all they had was those two animals. Was it even considered low budget for the time? Did you look up what the amount of money is in today money? because it was $135,000 budget back then in 1942.
So it's actually contested. It's as much as $4 million or as little as $1 point something million as far as what it made at the time. And they don't consider later on when it made its resurgence in the 80s, they don't consider those sales to be part of the.
Yeah, because people really sales. Didn't. Accept it too much, and then as it kept coming back, people would appreciate it more, and that's what I think is great about it, because I think we should take the time to go back and rewatch some of these things with an more mature eye. Maybe, you know, if I'd seen this when I was like 10 years old, I might have not gotten appreciated it, but now looking at it, I appreciate all those things that maybe I was like, oh, this is dull, this is where's the cat ripping it apart? And I remember seeing, I did see the remake back in the 80s. So that was the one that I always kind of remembered kind of vaguely, and not this one. But what they had, I think, was they used what they had really well, you know. And it was a small cast. There are two zoo animals, the shithead Oliver and that bitch Alice who's trying to steal her man. So back to where are we now? Oh yes, the also she stopped seeing the psychiatrist.
Yeah,
she was pissed,
she did.
Right?
Yeah, she was not very happy about that.
Alice and what's his face, Oliver, they decide they're going to be together, and he tells Arena.
Oh my god!
She's like, this I'm ready to off. Move on with our relationship. She said so. She made him a beautiful dinner, and he was like, I wish you'd told me this sooner because I've decided that I'm in love with Alice. Yeah. And I'll give you a divorce or whatever you want. But who do they go talk to about it? Alice and him, they meet up with the psych. None of that is their business. Why are they having a lunch discussing another person's treatment? They're like, if we put her in institution, then you can't divorce her because that's the law. So he's like, okay, well, then let's let her run around. They don't believe her. But not only that, he's taking his new girlfriend while he's married to go meet the psychiatrist. Fuck,
that's
all
really
of them.
That was really gross. They were supposedly they went to him for help with letting her down gently, and then like Alma said, they suggested that she be quote unquote institutionalized. But the law was you cannot divorce somebody who is in an institution, like she said. So they're like, oh well then. The best thing is, Oliver, that you take care of her. Like, shut the fuck, Alice. You have nothing to do.
You
with
don't
this.
Care.
What the fuck are you even doing? Actually, yeah. Oliver has nothing to do with this either. What the fuck is he doing talking to the psychiatrist? And of course, the psychiatrist is just so happy to be a part of this because he's like, ooh, a really cool case. This woman thinks that she's of the cat people. And now I have this love triangle going on in front of me and I can be a part of it somehow. And
but he's also... He has ulterior motives himself because he finds her curious and sweet and stuff. And obviously, I think from the beginning, the way he looked at her and got very close to her, he was immediately infatuated with her. So he has some skin in the game. I hope that's the expression. That sounds right. Some skin in the game. It sounds gross, but who cares? So once again, she is enraged and rightfully so. She's going to go visit Alice at the pool where she works. Well, she didn't know where she lives. Visit her at the pool. She's like, oh, that woman who just came in, and the attendant is like, oh yeah, she went down to the pool. Go check it out. You know, jump in, have a great time. And so she goes down to the pool and she's like, I am going to fuck with this lady. And I don't think she intended to kill her. I think that she wanted to scare the shit out of Alice.
She just wanted to mess with her. Yeah. Alice is in the pool swimming and everything. And I always, again, skulking around. we see, well, we don't actually see anything. They're using the shadows to their advantage that Irena is going around the pools, kind of like stalking her, doing stuff. But this time we get to hear her. We get to hear the panther actually scaring her with the sounds, not just hiding in the shadows. And we see Alice looking around, just, you know, that was actually shot. Oh, I forget what hotel it was shot, but it was shot in a swimming pool in a hotel there in Los Angeles. But you see Alice going around. And I think this scene is really good because Alice does look frightened. She's looking around and the actress did it really well. She's looking from corner to corner. So you know that this cat, whatever it is circling her as it's tormenting her, which was really cool. And then she starts screaming, just like she gets so scared because the what do you call it? A growl? What do you call it? What a cat does?
They meow. Yeah, the bigger they are, they just meow louder. Meow, you know, like that. That's what they're doing. She's going meow.
She's not going meow.
I can
meow.
Do sound actually... effects for movies. I don't know. Do they roar?
I don't know. Lions roar, I guess. So maybe she is roaring. So. I don't know. Yeah. Either way, she starts screaming because of the noises she's hearing, because she's seeing stuff in the shadows. And the attendants come, and there's fucking Irena standing like a normal human being for a minute. And she tells them, oh, my friend just scared me when she popped in here. And then Irena leans over after they leave. Lena leans over and basically threatens her. I don't remember exactly what she says, but she threatens her, kind of like, ha, 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 that was me the whole time. But she didn't say that. but Irena, Alice is rightfully scared now, which she should have been from the beginning. The second she told Oliver that she was in love with him, she should have been scared at that moment. Even if she didn't know what the fuck Irena was or was doing, she never should have opened her mouth, like you said. If there was ever any doubt that she, you know, that she wanted to be with that man, she should have told him, even if she's planning it, as she was planning the wedding, even that would have been a better time, because it was before they were married. So any time before that would have been a better time than doing it now. So she rightfully deserves to get scared by whatever it is that she's getting scared by. We never actually see Reyna up to this point be a cat person, but you know, it that's what she is. Whether she was just imagining or not, which I think it'd be really cool if she was just imagining it, because these growls and her skulking about the shadows and everything was so cool. So if it was like her in her human form doing that and being able to make those sounds, I'm like, oh yeah, more power to you. Scare the shit out of her. At least that's what I
wanted her to murder her brutally, but you know, we didn't get that. I love that she was playful. I love this journey so much for her because she accepted it. I think she loved being in the cat form. And I think that's why she had decided that when she did tell Oliver that she wanted to be with him, was that she wasn't afraid of what she would turn into. But their anger kind of made her want to fuck with them, because aren't they doing that to her? Aren't they, you know, gaslighting her? Even if she... You know, she is a cat person. Okay. And telling her that she is, you know, the way that they discuss her mental health without her present is just, on what planet do you think it's okay to be with that man while he's doing this to another woman? It's never going to end up okay with you, lady. Okay. Side piece chick. And so they meet up with the psychiatrist again, and they're waiting at the apartment like an intervention. Why the fuck is Alice still there?
It's an intervention. It's a gross intervention.
She has no business being there. She doesn't care about the mental wellness of this person. She isn't her friend. She has no connection to her whatsoever.
Nope.
She only has skin in the game, as in Oliver. That is her, what she needs. So anything that she's doing at this point is all for selfish reasons. And also, I think because she had the shit scared out of her and honestly believes it was Irena scaring the shit out of her, that this is her way of ha-haing her, but trying to keep the pretense, the facade that she's a helpful friend, but she's not. You know, she's a two-face. She's a two-face. Yeah.
Oliver and Alice at one point get cornered and stalked by some animal. They smell they smell Irina's perfume, which they made a point in the beginning of the movie mentioning that Irena has this very distinct, specific perfume that they can smell because it's a lovely scent. So they, as they're being stalked or whatever, and as they finally get away, they smell Irena's perfume wherever they're at. So they have a feeling it's her, but they never actually see her. In the meantime, Irena does meet up with a psychiatrist where he, like Alma said, he's being gross and disgusting and beyond inappropriate with her. And they kiss, and she turns into a panther.
Well, he kissed her.
Oh, he kissed her. I'm sorry. I apologize. Yeah. Because she did not kiss him. It was very much unwanted. He kisses her and then she kills him, right?
Yes. I hope so. I hope he's not alive. Because when the neighbors and they, I love that she got past all of them. Because she gets out of there after the attack, which they show in the shadows with the panther and everything like that. And at what point, I think they did use a stuffed cat to show that it was on top of him. And they really were trying to keep from using any kind of like anything that looked too fake because their budget was very low. But the producers did want some more cat action. And so at this point, they use like a stuffed cat, but he gets fucked up. He's on the ground. He's screaming, which is great. But she manages to escape down the stairs. She completely is avoided. And they're using the shadow. She uses the shadows and hides. So when Oliver and Alice show up, they go right past her. And I love it because, haha, fuckers, you didn't even catch her. But she is stabbed in the attack because he had like a hidden sword inside his cane. But the neighbors, everybody comes in and they're like, oh no, you're not supposed to touch him.
Just so that we make it clear, he had a,
he had that cane sword, which I think we should all have one of those. That's pretty cool. But they're standing around. They don't even help him or assist him. So I think he's dead. But at the same time, it's like, isn't it proper for you to go check on him to see or try to stop the bleeding or check on his wounds or anything? No, they're just standing around talking. Don't touch him. The cops are on the way. I heard the whole commotion. And they're just in his place, just not helping him whatsoever.
Yeah. Don't touch him because the cops are coming, yet we're all up in this guy's office potentially ruining any evidence. I don't even know what kind of evidence they could have found in that day and age, but maybe at least fingerprints or whatever. Meantime, Oliver and Alice are still trying to get away. We see Irena. Earlier, Irena had stolen a key from the zookeeper. The zookeeper, whenever he'd clean, I guess, the pens of the panther, he would leave the key inside of the lock. Even though it was locked, he would leave it there. And he's just like, oh, I do that all the time. And Irena had mentioned it like, hey, you forgot your key, giving it to him. So now she goes back and she knows that he leaves the key in there. So she steals it. And I thought that was so funny the way she just did it, like very like, haha, I grabbed the key. I didn't know what she was going to do with it at that time. But I thought she was just going to open up the cage right away, but she doesn't do that right now. And poor Irena is injured now. As a human person, we see her walking around with this sword kind of thing. Did you notice how her shoulder was a little bit bigger because they were trying to make it look like it was in her? Did you notice that?
Oh, no. I just thought it was because her coat was hanging off her shoulder.
Yeah. No, they had to make it a little, they added some padding so that they could have this sword thing sticking out of her. So she's walking around, she's injured. Which I felt so bad for her. This was a sad movie for me. I just felt so bad for her that everything she's going through, she told him from the beginning about her fear of intimacy and affection and all that. And then up to this point, she gets stabbed by the doctor for basically being assaulted by him. And she's over here dying now. She's dying because, you know, this bastard man, I like saying bastard man, both bastard men actually put her in this position. Like we said, Irena had slipped away. Now she's back at the zoo. And when she goes to the zoo, she opens up the panther's cage with the stolen key that she has and is just struck down by the panther that escapes. And the panther runs off, and the panther now gets run down and killed by a car. I'm like, now the poor panther is a victim in all of this too. So we have poor Irena being a victim in this. Sad. And then now the panther is dead. And Oliver and Alice walk over to the dead panther on the ground. And Oliver says, this is so stupid because it kills me. Because he just like, all he says is, she never lied to us.
Like, guess she was telling the truth.
What the fuck? Well, she never lied to
them both.
I hate them. Happily ever after. I don't know what the fuck.
That's they how don't the deserve movie shit. Ends. So she is fatally stabbed. That's it. And then she released the panther, and he dies. That fuck, Fuck everyone. I loved Irina. I loved her character. I loved that maybe it was because of her just being lonely, coming to a new place. It's really, when you think about it, it originates with this immigrant story of being a stranger in a place and nobody is trying to do anything, have anything to do with her. And maybe it was because of the time too, you know, it's like supposed to be the melting pot or whatever, but nobody talks to her. Nobody says anything nice to her. She even mentions that. And then the first person who befriends her, he gets close enough to so that she trusts him. And eventually this is something like, this is an empowering story of hers. You know, she embraces herself. She embraces her sexuality. She embraces her cat self. She wants to be intimate. She thinks she finds somebody. And all along, it was this piece of shit human being who tells her all the right things, but doesn't back it up. And then this other chick, and then the fucking doctor. All these people betrayed her, and all she wanted was intimacy with someone. All she wanted was to be accepted. All she wanted was to accept herself too. Not everybody has everybody has different journeys, you know, and not everything is easy. And all she needed was a little time. And if you look at the time frame, maybe it was 6 weeks from the time that she met him, that this man destroys this beautiful woman. He destroyed her. You know what I mean? It's just, yeah. It's
this sad. Poor woman never had a chance with that loser piece of crap bastard man.
Fuck him. That's what we'll title this episode. Fuck Oliver. And your little girl too. Or because I was trying to say dog, you know, but.
Yeah, no, I totally, too, I think I we all,
girl, but that's rude to call
You don't have to explain that. I think we all got it.
Side piece too.
Yeah. I like side piece better.
Yeah. Okay. So.
That was the movie, man. I'm so depressed now thinking about it again.
I wish that the two of them had gotten mauled to death, and that would have been real justice.
You know what? It should have been the other way around. They should have been the one killed, laying on the ground. And then Irina walks up, seeing them dead on the ground, saying, "I never lied to you." That would have been a better ending.
Oh, shit. That's good. Yeah. Like, they could re-edit it, make it look like that. Have the, like, get the two of them and Photoshop them lying on the ground. Standing there with the sword.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. So... again, I'm totally depressed now thinking about it because she never had a chance. But that's the movie. If y'all haven't seen it, check it out. Like I said, I found it on Apple, whatever we want to call it. What did we decide we're going to call it? Apple Movies? iTunes.
Rent it.
Rent
it's rentable.
It's rentable on places. Prime.
I think if you have the Criterion channel is where you can watch it. That was where it is because it is.
It's on the channel?
Yeah, you can add the, that's what I'm talking about. You can add the channel. I added it momentarily to watch another movie, but you know how you get like the 7-day free trial and then I didn't pay for it. So, but yeah, you can do that. So if you have that, then you can watch it. And you know, a lot of you lovely people out there have a lot of physical media and that is so cool.
Yes.
Because then you can just watch it again. I regret getting rid of a lot of my physical media and then not getting it. And now I want to start building it up again. And it just feels like a lost cause, doesn't it?
It's not a lost cause. You can start from the beginning. Start with one. Mm-hmm. That's all you got to do. Start with one and continue on like that. So, let us know what y'all think. If you haven't watched it, watch it because it's the mood. It's all about the mood. Even though we spoiled the ending for you, it's all about the mood. If you have seen it, let us know what you thought. Alma, if people want to get a hold of us, where can they get a hold of us on the interwebs?
You can go to our website at nightmaremoviepodcast.com. Our Gmail is nightmaremoviepodcast@gmail.com. Our Instagram is @nightmaremoviepodcast. Our Twitter is @nightmare_on_5. That's nightmare_on_5th. And Dale has our Patreon and Buy Me Coffee information.
Our Patreon is patreon.com/nightmaremoviepodcast. And our Buy Me a Coffee is buymeacoffee/nightmaremoviepodcast. Nightmare Pod. And all of this is in our show notes. And if you're ever confused of where everything is, just go to our website, nightmaremoviepodcast.com. And we have everything there in our show notes. And I guess that's it. That's Cat People.
Yay.
I'm still feeling
it's so Team so Arena. Justice Team for Arena. Arena.
We should get t-shirts that just say Team Arena. And yes. Yeah, let's just do that because we're totally on her side.
Hashtag right, cat people.
All right, everybody. Thanks for listening. Until next week. Bye.
Bye-bye.